Last year, commentator Katie Davis spent part of her summer running a children's camp in her Washington, D.C. neighborhood. This year, she's signed up again, armed with water bottles, trail mix, and hard-earned experience.
On the first day, 22 kids show up to the neighborhood church where we meet. That's almost twice the amount I'm expecting. There is no way, I'm thinking, no way we can handle 22 kids. As young as 8, as impossible as 16. I want to waitlist 6 kids, but my co-workers, Tiny and Nigel, they convince me we can handle them.
Everybody stand up with me.
Up. Let's go.
And if anyone can handle these kids, it's Tiny. He's 6'3", an ex-bouncer and personal trainer, and the father of 2. Nigel is quieter. He'll tinker with the church piano to calm the kids down, but he has credentials from growing up at 17th and Euclid, our toughest street corner. So, 22 kids it is.
No, don't throw the koosh ball inside, because remember what happened yesterday?
We lay down the rules. No koosh balls inside. No hitting, no fighting, no weapons, no cursing. No, no, no. No to a lot of things. I am running Camp No. Then we line them up, single file, and march 2 hot, steamy blocks to the National Zoo to see the pandas. They are pawing at the door to get inside to their air-conditioned cages, and all we see is their backsides. This is boring, Jose mutters, and I'm surprised at the stab of hurt I feel. I am running Camp Boring. Stephanie, 13, keeps hitting Finty, who's 14, so he hits her back. We separate them. They roll their eyes and slouch away. And 10 minutes later, they're at it again and again. We corner Finty and ask, what is going on? He stammers and then blurts out, it's just that when I get around her, my head hurts. Tiny and I burst out laughing. I have never heard a better description of what girls and boys can do to each other. So we walk to the back gates of the zoo, where a creek slices through the grass, and the kids come alive, skipping stones and turning over rocks.
We went down, and we got in the water, and then we had fun in the water. We were splashing the water, and we seen a lot of animals in the water. I forgot the name of them, but they look like, kind of like crabs.
You see, our neighborhood is right by this huge swath of woods called Rock Creek Park, 1,400 acres of woods. And many of these kids never go in it. They never climb the trees or catch a crawdaddy or run down Snake Hill the way I did with my brothers. Most kids barely leave their block or their PlayStations for that matter. Their parents keep them close, and rightly so, but they're missing a part of growing up, having a ditch, a creek, a bank to call their own. Here's Tiny.
For the most part, these kids, I don't think they really realize that these places are actually real. They're like television. They're illusions to some degree until they actually go and touch and feel and see them for themselves.
Another friend of mine, a neighborhood activist, has distilled his whole philosophy of working with children to these 6 words, around the corner to the world. Everything is within reach. You've just got to get off your block. Stephanie and Finty, though, they're having trouble doing that. Stephanie keeps provoking and prodding until she triggers a fight between Finty and another boy. We kick all 3 of them out. Now, this may sound harsh, but one thing I finally learned is not to tolerate constant disruption. It took me 7 years of experimenting. I hired conflict mediators and child therapists for the kids and for me. I was famous for giving the kids 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th chances, and it never seemed to help them, and it exhausted me. Now I explain the rules, and Tiny helps me stick to them.
If you don't want to be with us and understand our rules and guidelines, then there's a street, so you can get to stepping.
We go everywhere, to museums, a monastery, the National Mall, canoeing. And on some mornings, we simply walk the 2 blocks to the woods and explore. One day, I guide them to a stand of trees that I know well, a place where there are deer, woodpeckers, box turtles. My refuge. The complaints start after about 6 minutes. How much longer? My feet hurt. It's too hot. The call of the wine.
It was hard.
To the kids, it's a forced march. It feels like torture, like
I was in jail.
Malaika starts crying. I confer with Tiny. Maybe it's too much. Maybe we should turn back because my feet are starting to hurt right now. He just looks at me. All right, and we keep going. 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles. Antonio, who's extremely overweight, starts to sniffle and limp, so we veer back out of the park to 16th Street, and I flag down a cab and put him in it. Hey, that's not fair, yell the other kids. The day after, though, the hike is legendary. We walked 20 miles, they brag. Really, it was about 5. We climbed a mountain. We survived. Our group has its own mythology now.
All right, listen up, listen up.
Early on, we realized that about 4 of our kids are not bathing. We're talking grit on the neck and smells so bad you can't sit next to them. I know these kids, and I know that they are basically raising themselves. City workers know it, too. In the meantime, they need some pointers, so we give the job to Tiny, who titles his lecture, When You Are Funky and Possibly Losing Friends.
Funkiness is a delicate subject.
You're not smelling away.
All right? So what you want to do is make sure that your friends don't necessarily have to tell you. A lot of people just stay away from it. Say, oh, she's so nice, I like being around her, but she's funky. She's a little odoriferous, mild odorous. She's, to put it bluntly, she stinks. Well, he stinks.
So we explain about bathing at least once a day, washing their clothes and changing their sheets, camp hygiene. And that's how it goes all summer. We set out to do one thing and stumble across something else we need to teach the kids. One morning, Walter is learning how to weed a tree box when he finds a knife. I'm keeping it, he declares. Tiny talks to him for more than an hour. Look, if you have a knife, you're going to use it. You use it, you might die. Walter gives Tiny the knife. I never want to run a program again without men. For 7 years, I tried replicating many of these kids' fragmented families. A strong mother figure, no fathers or big brothers in sight. This summer, we are one strong, extended family. And if I can give anything to these children, it's that feeling, that there's this group of adults who are looking out for them in our neighborhood. They know that I'll come down to the park with a Band-Aid when Charlotte whacks her leg. They know that if their pants are hanging off their backsides, Nigel will ask them where their belt is. And that if Tiny sees Walter, who's diabetic, if he sees him eating candy, he'll make him throw it away. I am the head of an emerging family, Camp Family.
Katie Davis is a writer in Washington, D.C.